Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Later in this hour, it's our Miss Brooks from Christmas Day, 1949. But right now, we continue the 26-part holiday series, The Cinnamon Bear, this episode 23, heard on December 21st, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear are in the snow country with Santa Claus. For a while, everything looked pretty wonderful. Santa Claus bundled them into his specially private sleigh and drove to Jack Frost's house. After examining the broken silver star, Jack took some magic snow cement, and before you could say Jack Robinson, the star was back together again. However, it was necessary to let the cement get good and solid, so Jack Frost left it on the windowsill, and what do you think? When Judy went back to look at the star, it was...
gone. It's just as gone as though it had never been there.
Jiminy crickets, this is awful. What'll we do, Santa Claus?
No. The first thing to do is not get excited. Take a look outside, Jack. Maybe it fell off the sill into the snow.
All right, Santa. Just a minute till I raise the window a little more.
Do you see any sign of it, Jack Frost?
No, it's not there. Perhaps it... look! There they go.
Who?
The Bad Dolls. That's where the silver star went. They stole it.
Willikers, let's chase them. Come on, Judy. Come on, Cinnamon Bear.
Hold on, Jimmy. Hold on. You couldn't possibly catch them now. Why, they're going like 60.
But, Santa, we can't stand here and let them get away with our silver star just after it's been mended and everything.
Now, don't you worry, Judy. I'll see to it that your star gets back safe and sound.
All right, if you say so, Santa. But it sure makes me feel pretty awful unhappy.
Me too. And ferocious besides, garage.
Who are these Bad Dolls anyhow?
Well, Jimmy, a few years ago, a most strange thing happened. The factory got hold of a bad lot of sawdust. And consequently, all the dolls that were stuffed with it turned out to be very naughty.
I beg pardon, Santa, but don't you think you'd better call out the tin soldiers? Those Bad Dolls have quite a head start, you know.
Oh, so they have. I almost forgot. May I use your phone, Jack?
Oh, certainly.
Thanks. Hello, operator? Hello? Get me Snowside 123 O'Leary. Yes. Hello, Nicky Frutal? Oh, Nicky, the Bad Dolls have just stolen Judy and Jimmy Star right after Jack Frost mended it. Now, I want you to order out a detachment of tin soldiers. Yes. Tell Captain Tintop the Bad Dolls headed due west of Jack Frost's house. That's right.
Santa?
Hold the phone, Nicky. Yes, what is it, Judy?
Excuse me, but would you please ask Nicky Frutal if the Crazy Quilt Dragon has come out of the tailor shop yet?
Oh, surely. Nicky, how about the Crazy Quilt Dragon? Well, how does he look? Oh, that's fine. Will you tell him to meet us out in front of the big storeroom? Yes, that's it. All right, you got everything straight now? All right. Goodbye, Nicky. Well, there we are, children. The tin soldiers will be on their way in a minute. You'll have your star back in no time at all.
That's swell. Gee, I feel better already.
Just the same. It's pretty hard not to worry when it's getting closer and closer to Christmas every minute.
Oh, now you just leave it to Santa Claus, Judy. And now we've got to get started for the big storeroom and meet Crazy Quilt.
Speaking of Crazy Quilt, which I'd rather not do, what did Nicky Frutal have to say about him?
Well, the tailors have done a mighty fine job of renovating. Nicky says he looks just like new.
Let's hurry. I'm anxious to see him.
He'll probably be so conceited you won't be able to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Now, Cinnamon Bear, don't be jealous.
All right, come along, everyone.
Goodbye, Jack Frost. Thanks for mending the silver star.
We're ever so grateful.
Oh, sure, that's all right. I'm just sorry it had to get stolen.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Frost. Santa's tin soldiers will get it back for us. And don't forget, next time you're visiting the world, you just stop at our house and I'll have Mother show you how to frost a chocolate cake.
You bet I will, Judy. Well, goodbye, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye.
It's pretty cold out here. I don't know what we'd do without these fur suits you gave us, Santa.
All right, all in the sleigh now. Make it snappy.
Will somebody please give me a boost?
There you are, Cinnamon Bear.
Much obliged, Jimmy.
Everybody in? All right, off we go. Hi, Dunner. Hi, Blitzen. Hi.
This is the big storeroom.
There's Crazy Quilt waiting for us.
Hello, Crazy Quilt. Hello, Nicky.
Salutations, my friend. Salutations.
Hello, everybody.
Well, is everything all right, Nicky Froodle?
Tip top, Santa. The tin soldiers got off with flying colors.
Ah, splendid.
Notice anything different, Judy?
Oh, my goodness, Crazy Quilt. You sure look specially handsome.
Oh, yes, indeed. My friends, you are gazing on a new Crazy Quilt dragon.
Looks like the same old stuff to me.
Here, let me see. Well, he did a good job, all right. Turn around. Turn around. There. Why, your patches look just like new.
Oh, me, yes. I'm thrilled no end.
Boy, and you've got a brand new bow around your neck. It's sure a humdinger, Crazy Quilt.
I guess he's not the only one who has a bow.
Of course not, Patio Cinnamon. You have a lovely green one.
Green, very common color green. Now, my bow...
Orange, that's what it is. Orange, a yellowy orange.
It isn't either. It's scarlet, so there.
Well, whatever it is, they sure took you to the cleaners, all right. Too bad they didn't dry clean your crazy quizzish brains while they were at it.
Here, no quibbling, please.
Oh, don't mind them, Santa. They always act like that.
Oh, I see. Well, what do you say we just forget a bit about it, and we'll take a look around in the storeroom, huh? Right this way.
Goodness me. Just look at all the little pianos and horns and things. Hundreds of them.
Ah, this is the music department.
Ah, music. You don't happen to have a spare tuba around, do you, Santa? Used to play in the Dragon Military Band, you know.
So that's why you're such a windbag, huh, Crazy?
Here I am, Santa. Everything's taken care of.
Good. Now, where's that special piano job, Nicky? I'd like to look it over.
Ah, it's this one right over here. I'll take the cover off.
Ooh, a little white piano. Oh, it's beautiful.
Very nice. But it should be tested before we pack it, Nicky.
If I'm not intruding, Santa, I'd be glad to do the honors.
All right, Patio Cinnamon. We'd love to hear you play. Wouldn't we, Nicky Froodle?
Indeed we would.
Piano player, huh? Sissy stuff.
Don't pay any attention to him, Cinnamon Bear. Go right ahead.
This is my own composition, my very own, Santa. I'm very fond of it.
So are we. Cinnamon Bear sang it for us the very first time we met him.
And he sang it for Queen Melissa, too.
As a matter of fact, he sings it on every possible occasion.
Well, personally, I think it's very pretty.
Patio Cinnamon, you're a real artist.
Much obliged, Nicky. Now, if you don't mind, I think I'll browse around a bit.
May we look at anything we like, Santa?
Why, certainly, Judy. Anything that isn't wrapped up.
Gee, Judy, take a look at this peachy trumpet.
Are you positive you have no tubas about, Santa?
Oh, plenty of them, Crazy Quilt. But none your size.
Oh, how unfortunate. You're really missing a treat. Some consider me a virtuoso.
Oh, why, Santa! What are all these toy soldiers doing here? I thought this was just the music department.
Well, those are musical soldiers, Judy. They play in the toy band. You'll hear them when we have the big inspection.
Where's Cinnamon Bear, Judy?
Why, he's... Now, where did he go?
Oh, he probably wandered off by himself. Never mind, though. He won't get in any trouble around here.
Oh, I don't know about that, Nicky Froodle. Paddy's middle name is Trouble.
Well, then, we'd better start looking for him. Hmm. Huh? Don't see him anywhere around. Perhaps he went into one of the other rooms.
Where does this door lead to, Santa?
Oh, that's the Christmas sticker supply room. And let's see if he's wanted in there.
My word, what a collection of Christmas stickers and tags piled clear to the ceiling.
Aren't they pretty? I don't think I ever saw such beautiful ones.
What's that?
There's something under this pile of stickers.
Here, let's see what this is all about.
It's Cinnamon Bear.
I've got his leg. Help me pull him out, Nicky.
Okay.
Oh, this is rich. He's covered from head to foot with stickers.
Come on, everybody. Let's pull them off for him.
Look, there's a great big sticker right across Patty's mouth, and it says, "Do not open till Christmas."
Oh, no, that's too much to ask. I doubt if our cinnamon friend could keep his mouth shut until Christmas, even though it isn't very far off. Well, here goes.
Oh, well, what a life. Everything's again me.
How did all this happen, Mr. Cinnamon Bear?
Just looking around, minding my own business, that's all. Guess I was still a bit damp from the snow, and when that big pile of stickers toppled over on me...
Oh, just minding your own business, eh, my little stuck-up fellow? Oh, what a sight you are.
Calling Santa Claus. Hmm? Calling Santa Claus.
Oh, excuse me, please. Santa Claus speaking. What is it?
Captain Tin Top has just reported skirmish with the bad dolls in the Icicle Forest.
Yes, yes, go on.
Due to snowstorm, have had unexpected setback. Need reinforcements immediately. Bad dolls are much more stubborn than usual. Seems to be someone helping them. A scout reported that they are being led by a strange creature never seen before in the snow country. Couldn't tell much about it, but it was all green. That is all, Tabby Twist.
What strange creature is this who's leading the bad dolls? All green, the scout said. I wonder if it could possibly be that... Oh, well, we'll just have to wait till next time to find out.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 23 of 26, first heard on December 21st, 1937. This was an extremely popular series during the holidays. Since its inception in 1937, even an advertisement in the Oregon Journal, dated November 25th of that year, read, which was accompanied by a drawing of the Cinnamon Bear, "The Cinnamon Bear on the Air, introducing Patio Cinnamon, Santa Claus's right-hand man. Meet him with Santa in Toyland at Lippmann's Department Store. And don't miss his exciting adventures with Judy and Jimmy, two of the nicest playmates you could want, over the air every night but Saturday. Early to bedders can listen at 6 and stay up laters at 7, and some nights you'll be so anxious to hear how they got the silver star back from the wicked Crazy Quilt Dragon that you'll listen twice. And here's a secret, the Cinnamon Bear is just as excited about meeting you as he can be." That from an advertisement in the Oregon Journal from November 25th, 1937. Rounding the bend on the series now on Tuned to Yesterday, we bring you episode 24 of 26, dated December 22nd, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
With Christmas so near at hand, it's hard not to worry about Judy and Jimmy and their search for the Silver Star. After the bad dolls made off with it, Santa Claus sent a detachment of tin soldiers to the rescue. But the tin soldiers had met with unexpected reversals because the bad dolls were being led by someone never before seen in the snow country, a strange green-colored creature whose identity was unknown. But let's listen to Judy, who seems to have some definite ideas on the subject.
Oh, green? My goodness, that sounds like...
Oh, no, Judy. That just couldn't be possible.
Calling Santa Claus. Calling Santa Claus.
Yes, what is it now?
A maybe grin just received from Queen Melissa of Maybeland. Quote, warning, citizens of Snowland, Santa Claus, Judy, and Jimmy, be on lookout for Wintergreen Witch.
Oh, Jimmy, I was right.
Escape from Looking Glass Valley, assisted by another witch with black cat tattooed on left elbow. Wintergreen last seen flying over bottomless abyss on broomstick, headed for the snow country. Beware, she is dangerous, unquote.
Oh, dear. Are we going to have trouble with that awful old witch again? I thought Melissa had gotten rid of her for good.
Oh, come, come. Don't get upset, my friends. I think we can take care of the lady.
Lady?
Nicky, run over to the airport and order them to send out 10 airplanes. And tell them to communicate with me if they need additional men or supplies. And, oh, yes, one more thing, Nicky. I want you to...
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about the,
Oh, that. That'll be easy. You just...
What goes on here?
You'll find out soon enough, friend Crazy Quilt.
Is that all, Santa Claus?
Yes, I think so, Nicky. You sure you have everything straight?
I think so.
Then you'd better hurry. I have a little surprise for Judy and Jimmy, and I'll need you.
Right. I'll be back in a jiffy.
Now, of course, you children may not care for surprises. Or do you?
Of course we do, Santa.
Well, if you're sure you do, close your eyes, all of you.
Am I to be included in this, what do you think is going to happen, business?
Why, certainly. And Patty O'Cinnamon, too.
Oh, my. I do hope it's cinnamon buns.
Always thinking of your tummy. How materialistic.
Now, no peeking there, Crazy Quilt. Keep those purple patch eyelids closed tight. Now, I'll take hold of your hand, Judy. And yours, Jimmy.
Well, how about me, Santa? It's dark in here.
In where?
In here. Well, what I mean is it's dark inside me when I got my eyes closed.
Well, you and Crazy Quilt can hang on to Judy and Jimmy's free hands. Just a minute. There we are. We're all set. All right, now. Come along.
My goodness, but this is exciting. Where do you suppose he's taking us?
I've no idea, Judy. Utterly no idea.
I bumped into a step or something that time. Do we go up, Santa?
Yes, Jimmy, just a few steps. And how easy there. Just a few. Take it easy, everybody. Here we are. Now we can all sit down.
No! My extra special stuffing.
What's the matter, Cinnamon Bear? Did you fall?
No. I just sat down where there wasn't anything to sit on, that's all.
Oh, just a minute, Patio Cinnamon. Just a minute. There you are. You comfy?
Yes, thanks. That's something like it.
Would it be permissible to open our eyes now, Santa Claus?
Oh, no, not just yet. I'll tell you when. All right, Major Muffy, carry on. You can open your eyes now and open them wide.
My word. Oh, how beautiful.
Jumping gee willikers.
Bless my stuffing, what a big haul.
My sainted Crazy Quilt aunt, I've never seen anything like this.
That great big Christmas tree. Why, it's bigger than the one in the store downtown.
It sure is, but lots bigger. Gee, I have to put my head way back to see the top of it.
And all those colored lights. Why, there must be a million of them.
A million and a half, to be exact, Judy.
That big domed roof with the lights on it. Would that be made of glass now?
Well, not exactly. Something quite like it, but stronger, more substantial. One of my own inventions.
It's just so big and so beautiful, with all the lovely toys and lights and everything. Well, it just kind of takes your breath away.
You like it, children?
You bet.
It's the most gorgeous thing I ever saw.
Is this your throne we're sitting next to, Santa? It's such a fancy-looking chair.
Mm, it is fancy, isn't it? Frankly, I wouldn't have had such an elaborate one with all these jewels and carvings, but the workmen in my factory made it for me last year on my birthday. And, of course, I wouldn't hurt their feelings for anything.
Would you mind, Santa, if I went down there where you have the electric trains? I hesitate to admit it, but I have a perfect passion for them. Never could resist anything mechanical.
That's not all. You can't resist. Don't you let him do it, Santa Claus, or you'll find something else missing for sure.
Oh, pay no heed to this glorified bath mat, Santa. It's Paddy O'Cinnamon who needs watching. Why, he's had his eyes on those rubber elephants and toy giraffes ever since he opened them.
Indeed, and I have not. I was only staring at the big Christmas tree.
Now, boys, you must stop your quarreling. I think the best way for us to see all the toys is to take a little ride in my miniature train.
Gee willikers, Santa. Have you got a train you can ride in and everything?
I certainly have, Jimmy. And what's more, I'm going to let you drive it for us. Come along now.
Gee, that's swell. Did you hear that, Judy? I'm going to drive the train.
Oh, it's wonderful. Everything's wonderful. Hurry up, Cinnamon Bear.
I'm coming, Judy. Hey, Crazy Quilt, keep away from those toy steam shovels. You're apt to get your face lifted.
All right, here's the train, Jimmy. Right over behind the Christmas tree.
Gee, it's a Pip. Why, it's just like a locomotive almost. How does it run?
Well, I'll show you in a minute. Now, Judy, you just get in the cab with Jimmy. I'll sit right behind you, and Patty O'Cinnamon can share the back seat with Crazy Quilt.
Oh, I have to sit with him, huh? Too bad you haven't got a caboose, Santa Claus. That's where Crazy belongs.
Is that so? Well, I'll have
all
you go.
All right, everybody ready?
I'll say we are. Will you show me how to drive it now?
You bet I will, Jimmy. You see that lever?
Uh-huh.
You push that just as far as it will go. Then step on that pedal by your left foot. That starts the motor.
Like that?
That's right. Now the pedal.
Boy, oh boy, we're off.
Now when you want to stop, Jimmy, just pull the lever back. You got it?
You bet. Hey, how are you doing back there, Crazy Quilt?
Just so-so. Bit stuffy. You never know what you'll meet up with on a train.
If you're referring to me, applesauce.
Oh, Jimmy, look at the hundreds and hundreds of beautiful dolls.
Gee, and would you take a look at all those bicycles and scooters and the toy tractors and...
And there's the toy band we saw in the storeroom.
Mm-hmm, and over here's the military division. Some of the best tin and wooden soldiers we ever turned out. I'm very proud of them.
Just look at those roly-poly dolls. They remind me of that roly-poly policeman we met on the island of Obi.
Now we're passing the animal kingdom. Elephants and camels and monkeys on sticks. Animals of every description.
No Crazy Quilt dragons, however.
I should hope not. One is enough.
Santa Claus!
Huh?
Santa Claus!
Oh, here's Nicky Froodley back again. Stop the train, Jimmy.
All right, Santa Claus.
All right, all out now.
Oh,
come on, easy there. All out. Everything ready now, Nicky?
All ready, sir.
You know what, Santa Claus?
No. What, Judy?
I was just noticing all the little dolls and soldiers and toy animals are standing perfectly still, just like they were waiting for something.
That's right, Judy. They are waiting for something.
What?
Well, just to make certain all my toys will know how to behave when I take them out into the world, I put them through a special rehearsal under the big Christmas tree. And while they're marching, my supervisors inspect them. So that's what my toys are waiting for, Judy and Jimmy. The Christmas Tree Parade.
A parade? Jiminy Cricket, Santa, are we going to see it?
You are, Jimmy, and right this very minute. Oh, Major Muffy, proceed with the Christmas Tree Parade.
Rat-a-tat-tat, the bugle has blown and summoned us into life. Boom, boom, the buttons on our uniforms are polished till they shine.
Are polished till they shine.
Now the general is giving commands.
Fall in!
And the call for attention is made.
Attention!
And everyone is ready for the Christmas tree parade. Rickety-tick-tack and umpity-umpty-um. Boom, boom, boom from the Christmas tree. And back in marching form we come. In marching form we come. To the beat of the little bass drum.
Boom, boom.
To the toot of the little tin horn. We'll make a lot of children sing and shout on Christmas morn.
Came in while the parade was on.
Yes, yes, Nicky. What is it? What is it?
Captain Tintop is waiting in your office.
Captain Tintop?
Yes, sir. And he's got the Silver Star.
Well, that's the nicest news Judy and Jimmy have heard in a long time. The Silver Star is safe and sound. At least, we hope it is. But I'm not going to congratulate anybody until I've seen Captain Tintop return it in person.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 24 of 26, from December 22nd, 1937. Now time, on Tuned to Yesterday, to wrap this hour of Christmas shows with Our Miss Brooks and an episode from Christmas Day 1949 on CBS called The Magic Christmas Tree.
Our Miss Brooks. Again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, most of us spent Christmas Eve with our families and friends, but Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, wasn't quite so fortunate.
No, my family was too far away to visit, and it seems my friends had other plans. But I made up my mind not to brood about it, and was trimming a rather tiny tree in our living room when my landlady, Mrs. Davis, joined me.
What a nice tree, Connie.
It isn't really, Mrs. Davis, but it's the only one I could afford.
Oh, what did you pay for it?
I found it in a vacant lot. What I like about it is the size. It's not too big or too small. It's just too small.
I'd like to stay here and celebrate Christmas Eve with you, Connie, but I promised my sister Angela I'd come over to her place. You remember Angela? The absent-minded one.
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Davis.
She always got a big thrill out of the holidays, even when we were girls. Of course, the poor dear could never remember when it was actually Christmas. And one Christmas morning, she did the funniest thing.
What's that, Mrs. Davis?
What's what, dear?
What did Angela do?
Angela?
Your sister.
My sister?
The absent-minded one. What did she do?
I haven't spoken to Angela in some time. What did she been up to?
That's what I'd like to know. Maybe I can refresh your memory. Christmas morning, Angela did the funniest thing.
Christmas morning isn't until tomorrow, Connie. You must be confused.
Well, don't worry about it. I only get these spells once in a while.
Well, you shouldn't let it go, Connie. If you don't mind my offering a little advice, I'd like to suggest that you train your mind to concentrate more.
I'll do it, Mrs. Davis.
Now, I've developed a little scheme which works wonders for me. Supposing you have trouble remembering where you put things around the house. Well, you just keep repeating the location to yourself with a sort of rhythm. For example, I just chant to myself, the mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. The mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. The mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. Now, isn't that simple?
Oh.
Mustard's in the closet, the bread.
That's wonderful, Mrs. Davis. If anybody wants a mustard sandwich, you're really ready.
Yes. Now, before I do anything else, I want to invite you to join me tonight.
Join you?
Yes, dear. I'm going over to
Angela's house.
That's right. She's so cute with that little absent mind of hers. Sometimes she forgets what she's talking about right in the middle of a sentence. And, oh, dear me, I hope that cat's got enough milk.
Well, I'm sure if we, but then, maybe someday, or if it doesn't seem to, and that's why I can't join you tonight. Oh, before you know it, it'll be midnight.
Midnight of Christmas Eve.
I can just picture it. A short, thin man in a black suit comes sliding down the chimney with an empty bag. St. Penniless, the schoolteacher, Santa Claus.
Well, at least you're not bitter. Now, Connie, about my sister,
Angela?
Oh, thank you, dear. About my sister, Angela.
Yes?
Good night, Dorothy.
Good night, Bernice. Oh, stop drinking those pine needles, Minerva. Come on over here. There's a good kitty. Now, I'll just settle down in Mrs. Davis's rocker, and we'll have ourselves a nice, quiet rock. I've got to exercise more. My bones are rusting. Oh, it's the rocker. Kind of soothing at that. Oh, you seem contented enough, Minerva. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to upset you, Minerva.
Oh, gosh, I'm sleepy.
Now, who can that be? Expecting anyone, Minerva? That's funny. There's nobody here.
I'm here.
Where? Oh, leaning on my knee. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm a salesman, but I don't believe in giving any sales talk or sob stories. All I do is tell you what I'm selling. And if you want to buy, okay. If not, okay.
Okay? What are you selling?
Well, it's Christmas Eve, and I'm just a small urchin. A little on the underprivileged side. And I'm trying to make a few dollars to get some wood to heat our tiny apartment so that while she's singing to my three sick sisters, my mother's lips don't turn blue.
That's what I like, no sob stories. You're selling handkerchiefs, I'll take six.
Well, no, ma'am, I'm selling Christmas trees. They're only a dollar a piece.
But I've already got a Christmas tree.
Then I'll make it 50 cents.
But I don't need...
How about a quarter?
Look, little boy.
Well, payments can be arranged. Oh, please take one, ma'am. These aren't ordinary trees, you know. They're magic.
Magic?
Yes, ma'am. You'd be surprised what miracles will happen to you if you buy one.
Well, a quarter isn't too much to pay for a miracle.
It's 50 cents.
I thought you said 25.
That's when you sounded tougher to sell.
Oh. Well, before I melt down to my coal buttons and the stovepipe hat, here's 50 cents.
Well, you won't be sorry, ma'am. Here's the little tree.
Say, it is kind of cute at that. Would you like to come in and help me set it up?
I can't. I've got to get right home. My sitter's been alone long enough.
Sitter? Well, what about your mother and the firewood?
Well, that's just a routine. My folks are attending a dinner the other bank presidents are giving for Father.
With the pitch you've got, you'll have your own bank by the time you're 12.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, good night, lady, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, you little underprivileged millionaire. Oh, I'll put this tree over here. Maybe we can find some extra trimmings for it in the morning. Minerva, will you stop gnawing on those pine needles? I wish I knew what made them so appetizing to her. Oh, fine. Now, you come over here and let those things alone. There we are. Well, I guess I'm not the only one that's spending Christmas Eve alone without family or friends. But who can tell? Maybe Santa Claus has something up his big red sleeve that I don't even know about yet. Of course, I do have a squeaky rocker and Minerva. Jingle bells, and merry stuff like that. Oh, what fun it is to rock with a big, fat, drunken cat. As I sat in the living room Christmas Eve with Minerva the cat on my lap, I couldn't help noticing that the tree which I'd bought from that wealthy urchin had a rather peculiar luminosity. Although there wasn't any artificial illumination, it seemed to glow from deep down in its branches. As I rocked back and forth, I started to get very drowsy. The little boy said this tree was magic, Minerva. No, I don't believe it either. Still, it is Christmas Eve, and some very strange things have happened on Christmas Eve. What's that? Oh, I must have been dozing. Coming! Well, it's Walter Denton. Come in, Walter.
Noel, Noel, Joy, you're Noel.
Gracias. Come on into the living room, Walter.
Oh, thanks, Miss Brooks. Here, I brought you this little gift to put under your tree.
Oh, that was very thoughtful, Walter. Put it under this tree over here.
Okay. Say, you've got two trees, haven't you?
Yes, one for Minerva and one for me.
What?
Don't pay any attention to her. She's pine needle happy.
Well, Miss Brooks, as you know, I was supposed to spend the evening nestled snugly in the tight little confines of my own small immediate family circle.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, come out of there. You're giving me claustrophobia.
But I went to my father and mother and crowed their permission to come over.
Wait a minute, Walter. You crowed their permission to?
Yeah. Crave, craven, crove, isn't it?
Oh, Walter, of course not. Crave, crave. Let's see. Crave, craven. After you crowed their permission, what happened?
Well, they waved my presence for a long enough while for me to deliver to you, Miss Brooks, the little token of my esteem and affection, which is now ensconcing under the tree.
Walter, you still in my English class?
Well, sure, Miss Brooks.
Well, I'd better bone up a little. One of us is going to flunk this term.
Oh, it isn't just the gift, Miss Brooks. That's not the only thing that brought me wayfaring from the warmth and conviviality of my own heart.
Oh, please don't start that again. I'm glad you dropped over, Walter. And if you want to spend the rest of the evening with your folks,
oh,
why, you
go. Oh, no rush with them. They've got my present under our tree already. Now, what I'd like to say, Miss Brooks, though, is something I've wanted to say for a long while.
Yes, Walter?
Now, it's a little on the sentimental side, perhaps, for a so-called hep high school boy to be telling a teacher, but it's sincere, Miss Brooks.
I'm sure it is.
It's something I feel deep down inside of me, Miss Brooks, from whence so many of one's warmer emotions stem.
That's whence they stem from, all right.
Of course, even if it does seem over-sentimental or even downright sticky, Christmas Eve seems to be the time that you can say things like this and not sound over-sentimental or sticky.
Christmas Eve is the time to say them. I just hope I hear them by New Year's Eve.
What I want you to know, Miss Brooks, is that I'm grateful.
For what, Walter?
For my association with you during the past semester at Madison High School.
Well, thank you, Walter. I've tried to be a capable teacher.
Oh, your teaching was nothing.
What?
Oh, I don't mean scholastically. No, as a teacher, you were very adequate. I mean personally. The interest you took in me and my problems. For that, I could never thank you if I lived to be 100. Of course, you'd be gone a long time by then.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
You don't know what it's meant to me to have your ear whenever I needed it.
Oh, it was nothing, really. I have another one.
Especially about girls. Guys, you remember how silly I used to act about girls? Every time one of them looked at me, I giggled like a kid. And then, overnight, I matured. I met the one woman who really mattered. Harriet Conklin.
She certainly made something out of you, Walter. I don't know what, but something.
You saw me through the difficult transition period of that amour as well, while Harriet and I were adjusting to one another. It was wonderful to be able to come down to you for advice, Miss Brooks. It isn't every boy who has such an interest taken in him by some intelligent elderly person.
Give me back my ear. I can't hear you.
Not that you're ancient or anything. Gosh, I've seen girls who don't look as good as you do.
Girls? What do you think I am?
shut up, Minerva.
By the way, Miss Brooks, I see you got lots of mistletoe on the wall. Were you expecting Mr. Boynton tonight?
Yes, Walter, I was. We were going for a wheelchair ride together. He had to visit his folks upstate.
His folks? Gosh, they must be well along in years.
His father's over 50. They may shoot him next spring. Look, Walter, while you're here, you might as well pick up the little gift I got for you.
Oh, but Miss Brooks, you shouldn't have. Where is it?
Under the tree on your right. It isn't much, just a remembrance.
Oh, gee, I almost forgot. I can't open it yet.
Why not? Oh, you mean you want to put it under your tree at home and open it with your family.
Oh, not exactly, but... Oh, I'll get it later, Miss Brooks. Oh, there they are now. I'll answer it.
There who are now?
Come on in, folks. He was all alone when I got here.
That is really a surprise, isn't it?
We should have stayed home Christmas Eve. Besides, it's freezing out.
Now, Osgood, don't be so grouchy.
Hello, Miss Brooks. Merry Christmas.
Why, it's Mr. and Mrs. Conklin. And Harriet, how are you all?
I'm cold.
Oh, that's too bad. Come here, Minerva. Rub up against Mr. Conklin.
What's that? What did you... Go away, cat.
Why, she seems to like you, Osgood. Or is she hungry, Miss Brooks?
She's not that hungry.
I don't like cats. Why doesn't she go chase a mouse or something?
You forget, Mr. Conklin, this is Christmas Eve. There isn't one stirring.
Hey, Harriet.
Yes, Walter?
There's a lot of mistletoe around this room.
I know. It's real pretty.
Osgood, notice all the mistletoe in this room?
What? Oh, that green stuff. Yeah. More often than not, it makes me sneeze.
Oh, come on, Osgood. Let's see if it does.
Oh, now, Martha, don't embarrass me so.
It doesn't make you sneeze, does it, Harriet? I'm willing to find out. Here's a nice wreath of it on this wall.
Yeah. Well, here we are.
Yes. Here we are.
May I, Mr. and Mrs. Conklin? If it's all right with Harriet, it's all right with us.
Oh, come on, Walter. We're getting old.
Gosh, you're sweet, Harriet.
Oh, isn't that cute, Osgood? Come here, dear. How about one for your faithful old wife?
Well, it is customary, I guess. I'm under the stuff.
Now, pucker up, dear.
Very well. I told you. Now, let's stop this romantic drivel and act like adult human beings. Miss Brooks, I'd like to take advantage of this visit to inquire as to your plans for the coming year's classwork. Do you have your schedule all laid out?
Well, frankly, Mr. Conklin, I haven't had much chance to work on anything.
Haven't had much of a chance, but you've been away from school all week. Your vacation started last Monday.
I know, Mr. Conklin, and that's what I took the week as. I mean, a vacation is something you go on when you get the opportunity to. You don't work on it or during it, unless, even though I didn't actually go anywhere, when my vacation came along, I went on it or was on one, usually.
And you wanted to be the head of the English department.
Please, Osgood, this is no time to talk of school affairs. We're here to spend part of our holiday with Miss Brooks.
It was very nice of you to think about me, Mrs. Conklin. It was nice of all of you. Where are Walter and Harriet?
Denton, get my daughter away from that mistletoe at once.
But, Mr. Conklin, Harriet isn't allergic to mistletoe.
No, but I'm allergic to you.
Harriet's almost irresistible sometimes. Especially alongside of older women like Mrs. Conklin and Miss Brooks.
Saved by the bell. I'll get it. Why, Mr. Boynton, come in.
Oh, thanks, Miss Brooks.
I thought you were going upstate to see your folks.
Well, I was, but they sent me a wire that they wanted to come down here for a week or so. They'll arrive in the morning, so I thought I'd drop this little gift off for you tonight.
Oh, but you shouldn't have. Where is it? Let's just put it under the tree in the living room. Look who's here, everybody.
Well, it's Mr. Boynton.
Hi there, Mr. B.
This is nice.
Hello, Boynton.
is beginning to get more like Christmas Eve every minute. Sit down, Mr. Boynton. I'm certainly glad your folks decided to visit you instead of vice versa.
Oh, so am I. There's a particularly good reason why I'm glad.
There is?
Oh, yes. It gives me a chance to see how my guinea pigs are affected by this cold snap. So far, they haven't reacted at all.
What do you expect them to do, blow on their paws?
Miss Brooks, have you pointed out the mistletoe to Mr. Boynton?
Oh, why don't you stop that nonsense, Martha?
It isn't nonsense. Mr. Boynton, look at the mistletoe.
Mistletoe? Oh, yes, a very interesting example of the flora found in various areas throughout the globe. An evergreen parasitic shrub, it is indigenous to the regions where apple trees and oaks abound.
Now that the lecture is over, may we ask questions?
Well, certainly, Miss Brooks.
Want to stand under it?
Stand under it? Well, you see, because of certain characteristics in its makeup, an allergy is sometimes aggravated by its presence.
I'll take a chance if you will.
Come on, Mr. Boynton.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Boynton.
Just bring him over to this wall here.
I'll get under it if you like.
Well, don't just stand there. Can't you see Miss Brooks is cooking?
Well, don't fuss for me. I couldn't eat a thing.
Mr. Boynton, don't you know what standing under the mistletoe signifies?
I know what it signifies to most people, but to me it's just...
Well, there goes 85 cents worth of mistletoe.
Hey, I know what let's do. Let's open up the presents right now.
Well,
a splendid suggestion, Walter.
Shouldn't we wait until just before we leave? Might be less embarrassing that way.
Well, if you want to open them now,
I'd... Golly, this one tree is pretty crowded. I'll put some of these packages under this little one over here.
Look out, Walter. You're bumping into one of the branches. Look out.
I got the funniest feeling when I touched that branch.
What kind of a feeling, Walter?
Oh, you're Harriet Conklin, aren't you?
Well, sure, I'm Harriet Conklin. Walter, what's the matter with you?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter with me. It's just that I want to tell you something. Harriet, you've got to change. You ought to try to be more like Miss Brooks.
Well, what do you mean, Walter?
If you want me to stay interested in you, you've got to be more alluring, youthful, glamorous, feminine in that real feline Brooks way.
Walter, have you been drinking pine needles, too?
Look at that tree. It seems to be glowing.
What do you mean, glowing? Just a reflection from the streetlight. This party is giving me the memes. Holidays, indeed. Here, I'll just move the tree where it won't glisten in our eyes. There we go. Mr. Conklin, happy-go-lucky, fun-loving, gag-a-minute Osgood.
Gag-a-minute Osgood?
Sometimes I've wanted to.
Miss Brooks, is that really you standing there?
I think so, Mr. Conklin. Why do you ask?
Because you suddenly look so different, so intelligent. Miss Brooks, I've made up my mind. You are now head of the Madison High English Department.
Well, thank you, fun-loving Osgood.
I'm going to put this wonderful tree where it belongs, right in the center of the room. Give me a hand, Boynton.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Conklin. I'll just take this end here and... Miss Brooks.
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
Come here, baby. I said, come here, Connie.
You did not. You said, come here, baby, and I'm here.
Look, he's taking her over to the mistletoe.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Well, what are you going to do, Mr. Boynton?
Just call me Phil, Connie. And this is what I'm going to do. Well, Connie, how does that make you feel?
Oh, I feel like I'm in a dream, Phyllis. A wonderful, beautiful dream. Well, what's that? Where is everybody? Oh, I must have been dreaming. Well, that's real enough. I'll be right there. Oh, sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to drop you.
I'm cold.
Why, it's the Conklins and Walter and Mr. Boynton. But you all just left. Come in.
We thought it would be nice if we spent our Christmas Eve together, Miss Brooks.
Yes.
And we've brought a few little gifts over for you.
I'll just put them under this tree here.
Yes, do that, Walter.
Aren't you going to ask me why I didn't go upstate, Miss Brooks?
I know why, Mr. Boynton. Your folks are coming down to see you.
Well, how did you know about that? I just got the telegram.
Don't let's get too carried away with the holidays to prepare for the hard school season ahead, Miss Brooks.
Oh, let's not talk about school affairs now, Osgood.
Walter, look at the mistletoe.
Yeah, look at it.
Now, just a minute. Before we go through all that again, would you please touch that tree, Mr. Boynton? The one on the left with the... Why, it's gone. There's only one tree.
Miss Brooks, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Could I have dreamt that part, too? Mr. Boynton, would you do me a favor, please?
Of course, Miss Brooks. What is it?
Would you touch the Christmas tree?
Touch it?
But... Please, it's important.
Oh, all right. There.
Nothing happened.
Well, what did you expect would happen?
A miracle. Oh, excuse me. I'll be right back.
Well, I'm a little merchant, and I'm selling magic Christmas trees.
But you just...
Please buy one, lady. They only cost 50 cents apiece.
50 cents?
That's right.
Here's $2. Give me 4 of them.
Our Miss Brooks on Tuned to Yesterday from December 25th, 1949 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.